B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Tzadik, and we're going to start seven lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik of Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Hamemane Acherim Imoy Al Pischoy V'Al Chagigosoy. If somebody owns a Korban Pesach, he owns a Chagiga of the 14th, Chagigas Yudalad, which we've already learnt about previously, the nature of that Korban Chagiga, and somebody has this korban, the korban Pesach and Chagiga, and he wants to register other people to join him in his korban Pesach. So what does he do? Those people who need the korban Pesach, or those people that need the korban Chagiga, which is the same group that are eating the korban Pesach, are also eating the korban Chagiga before the korban Pesach. How does he register people? He says to them, "You want to join? Give me X amount of money, become a partner in the korban, and then I'll let you join in this. You'll be registered with this korban Pesach." Nalocha is mois shebayodoi, the money that the owner receives from all the other people that are registering, chulin. It's chulin, it's not hektish, you can use it for whatever he wants. That's one halacha in the Braisa. Another halacha in the Braisa, hamoicher oilosoi ushlomov. If somebody sells his korban oila, or his korban shlomim, he sells it to somebody else. It means if Reuven has a korban oila or a korban shlomim, and he sells it to Shimon as if it should atone from now on for Shimon instead of for Reuven, and Shimon paid for it. First and foremost, there's no such thing. The korban is yours and can only be offered up with the intentions and serving and atoning for the person whose korban it initially belonged to. Not only that, umois kol shehein, and the money that was given to the original owner, it doesn't matter how much money it is, yiplu l'nedova. That money is actually going to be taken and given as a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. It was put aside that when they needed extra korbonis, when there wasn't enough korbonis on the Mizbeach, the Kayetz HaMizbeach, they would use this money, the donations, to bring korbonis on the Mizbeach. That's the end of the Braisa. So the Gemara asks, if somebody sells his korban oila or korban shlomim, it's totally invalid, the sale was void, then if so, if somebody paid for something and for whatever reason the kinyan, he didn't manage to acquire the object, then the money gets refunded. And since over here, then the buyer has not achieved, has not received the korban, why does the seller not have to just give the money back to the potential buyer? Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, Knosa. We actually gave a penalty on the one that bought it, because even though it was the one who sold it shouldn't have sold it, but if there was nobody buying it, there would be nobody selling it, and therefore we blame the person who's buying it. It's like the Gemara says, "Lav achbaro ganov elochura ganov." It's not the mice, the rats, who are stealing the food. It's the hole where they're escaping to, which is responsible. If they had nowhere to run to, they wouldn't be here, they wouldn't take the food. So too here, if there wasn't somebody to buy it, there would be nobody to sell it. And therefore, we tell the buyer, you wanted to buy a korban, you wanted to buy somebody else's oila, somebody else's shlomim to atone for yourself. Number one, it doesn't work. Number two, the money that you tried to do this with is going to belong to the Beis HaMikdash. You've lost it. It's a penalty that we give him. Umay kol shein, why did the Braisa say that the money, however much money it is, what are you coming to impress on us by adding these two words, kol shein? Just say that the money is hektish. Says the Gemara, afal gav delo hava shavu elo arbo. Even in the event that the korban themselves was only worth 4 coins, v'yoyev lei chamisha, and he paid 5, and the 5th coin seems that he wasn't paying for the animal because the animal wasn't worth 5. It's as if he was just giving a gift to the seller. So maybe I would have thought that 5th coin should not be taken away from him, should not be given to the Beis HaMikdash, rather it should be given back to the one who wanted to buy it. Afila bahi asera. So that's why the Braisa says that the mois kol shein, it doesn't matter how much you paid, even if you paid more than the animal was worth, even that extra coin, nami konsu rabonon, that was included in the penalty that the Chachomim met against him, and they took away all 5 coins and gave it to the as a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Gemara is going back to the first halacha, which seems like a harmless halacha. I've got a Korban Pesach, I'm registering somebody else on the Korban Pesach. Let's say that Reuven has a Korban Pesach. Shimon wants to join. Shimon comes with some money. He pays Reuven, and Reuven says, no problem, now you're registered. Reuven, what does he do with the money that Shimon paid? He can do what he wants with it. It's chulin. That was the halacha we saw in the Braisa. But this seems to be more complicated than it seems. Omar Ullah v'itayim Reb Oishia. It was either Ullah or Reb Oishia who actually said, Efshar, is it possible, I wish, that Yodu Chaveirin Bavloi, that my colleagues from Bavel, will be able to know and explain to me Taima Daimilsa, the reasoning behind this halacha. That means there was something bothering him. What was bothering him? And we know that the big rule is that Hekdesh can be redeemed. And if what does it mean to redeem? It means that if object A was Hekdesh, then under certain circumstances, obviously, then object B can redeem the Hekdesh of object A, and then the Kedusha of A is now transferred onto B, and A becomes Chulin. But you can't be Poida, you can't redeem something of Hekdesh with something of Hekdesh, and then assume that one of them are going to become Chulin, are going to become non-Hekdesh. How did that happen? Where did the Hekdesh go to? If the Hekdesh can move to something that was Chulin, it cannot move to something that was Hekdesh. So the Gemara is asking, Zeh Hifrish Tle Lepischoi. Reuven had a Korban Pesach, and we assume at this point a Korban Pesach means it's Hekdesh. It's been designated and dedicated to be a Korban, it's Hekdesh. We assume that Shimon, he had money that he designated to be Korban Pesach. He lifted up this coin and said, this coin is for the Korban Pesach. At that moment that he says that, these coins are Hekdesh. They belong, they've been designated for Hekdesh. So how, hey Hekdesh, Chalal Hekdesh, how can these coins be used to have a share in the Korban and then suddenly these coins become Chulin? What's going on here? Diktani Mois Shabiyodi Chulin, where did it go to? If the Korban Pesach, so to speak, was Chulin, and he bought a share in the Korban Pesach with the Kodesh coins, then we can say that the Kedusha of the coins now is valid on the his part of the Korban, and the coins become Chulin. That's okay. But we assume that the Korban is Hekdesh, because the whole Korban is Hekdesh. That's what we assume at this point. The coins, we also assume are Hekdesh. If for whatever reason the coins themselves are Chulin, then it would make sense. The Korban is Hekdesh. And Shimon is giving Chulin coins to Reuven, and just in order to have a share in the Korban. He's not actually buying part of the Korban. Reuven's not selling him part of the Korban. Reuven says, give me a gift, X amount of coins, and I'll allow you to join my Korban Pesach. So then we can understand, if the coins are Chulin, then we understand that the coins stay Chulin. But if the coins were Hekdesh, and the animal was Hekdesh, then how can you pay for something Hekdesh with Hekdesh, and suddenly the coins you've paid with become Chulin? That doesn't work. And Ullah or Reb Oishia are saying, we wish somebody could actually explain this to us. Now, we're going to learn in the next Omud, and it's going to be a little bit complicated, but the truth is that we're actually going to come across five different explanations why those coins, how those coins could be Chulin. The first one that we come across is actually in Rashi here. Rashi says that an easy way out would be that we're talking about that Shimon's coins were not Hekdesh. That the Braisa that says that if Shimon buys his chelik of the Korban from Reuven, the coins that Reuven now has are Chulin, because they were never Kodesh. Shimon took regular coins. He didn't say these coins are dedicated for Korban Pesach and then they have Kedusha. No, he took regular coins. He came to Reuven and says, can I give you a few coins and you'll let me share your Korban Pesach? Reuven says, no problem. Then the coins are Chulin. We have no issue with that. Just Rashi says, if that was the explanation in the Braisa, then it would be taken for granted that the Mois are Chulin. There's no Chiddush in that. There's no novelty in that. The Braisa probably didn't mean that. The Braisa probably did mean that we had coins that were Kodesh themselves, and then we have this issue, how then can coins of Kodesh, so to speak, buy or attain a part in a Korban that's Kodesh, and the Kedusha of the coins vanish? That's the question that we're trying to discuss now. Now, we do this very rarely, but just for the sake of clarity, I would like to learn the following Omud out of order. And the Gemara itself does that, Rashi itself does that. But in order to prevent me having to give all the introductions that the Gemara is going to give a few lines later, let's learn the Gemara in the order of the information that we need to understand the rest of the Gemara. So I'm going to now jump to the middle, approximately the middle of Daf Tzadik Omed Aleph, where the last two words of a line, my Rebbe. And what this Rebbe is, everything will become clear. It's very not complicated, but we have to learn this a little bit out of order. So there is an opinion of Rebbe, and we'll later understand how this opinion of Rebbe serves us to actually understand this brisa about these coins. So let's see what this opinion of Rebbe, my Rebbe. What's this Rebbe? Says the Gemara, the Tanya we learnt in a brisa. The Pasuk says, Im yim'at habayis mihiyois miseh. And we've had a number of explanations of this, but the Gemara here is explaining it. Im yim'at habayis mihiyois miseh. If you are lacking funds for your needs, for what you need in order to offer up the Korban Pesach. For example, you haven't got money to pay for the wood to roast the Korban Pesach. Then, im yim'at habayis mihiyois miseh. Then that's putting a comma after the se. Then we now jump back one word. Mise velokachu ushchenu yakoriv el besoy. He can find sustenance. He can find extra money using this se, using this lamb, because he doesn't have money for the lamb to roast it. What's he going to do? He'll take the lamb and he'll allow somebody else to join in. So Reuven will go to Shimon and say, Shimon, would you like a share in my Korban Pesach? Give me X amount of money and you can be registered on my Korban Pesach. And now Reuven will have money to do what he needs to do for the Korban Pesach. Hachyehu miseh, he can get his sustenance from selling, or we shouldn't call it selling, but by letting somebody else give some coins in order to have a share in the Korban Pesach. So what do the Tanakhama say? Mikdei achila, v'loy mikdei mekach. That you're only allowed to, so to speak, sell away or to take money for somebody else to join in your Korban Pesach in order to use it for what you need for achila, to help you to get towards eating the Korban Pesach. Namely, for an example, if you need to buy wood to roast the Korban Pesach, you can use it just for that, because that will help you be able to eat your Korban Pesach. V'loy mikdei mekach. However, the Tanakhama say you're not allowed to use that money in order to invest, in order to do whatever you want with it. No, it's not there for business purposes. You have to use that money, and you're only allowed to take that money in order to help you to eat your Korban Pesach. So according to Tanakhama, it's very clear that we don't say that the mois is chulin, as we saw at the brisa that we learned before, at the bottom of Peites Amud Beis. It's clear that the money has to be used to serve the Korban, and it remains within the brackets of Kodesh. Rebbe Oimir, this is Rebbe. Rebbe argues with the Tanakhama, and Rebbe says, Af mikdei mekach, that I can even use the money, Reuven can use the money that Shimon gave him, even to invest it in other things other than kidei achila. So what is that? Shem ein loy, memane achir imoy al pischoy v'al chagigosoy. That, and the way that Rebbe reads the Pasuk is, im yimat habayis mihiyois, if he doesn't have enough money for whatever he needs, not necessarily meyois miseh, not necessarily that I'm lacking money to allow me to eat the Korban Pesach, rather he's just lacking funds, then miseh velokachu ushchena korov. You can, so to speak, tell Shimon, you want to have a share in my Korban Pesach, give me some coins, I need some coins. And because Rebbe says that shem ein lo, if he doesn't have enough money, memane achir imoy, he can register somebody else onto his Korban Pesach, al pischoy, v'al chagigose, and his Korban chagiga, u'moyes shebiyodoy chulin, and the money that Reuven has received from Shimon is completely chulin, she'al menos kein ikdishu Yisroel es pischeihem. Which is a very interesting term. Rebbe says that it was with this condition, so to speak, that the hekdash, when Reuven made his Korban Pesach hekdash, it was done with this condition, so to speak, saying that I've allowed myself the I've retained myself the rights to be able, so to speak, to sell part of the Korban Pesach to somebody else. That means part of my Korban Pesach, so to speak, is going to remain chulin, and I've only made part of the Korban Pesach hektish. And now when Shimon comes and he gives me hektish money in order to buy his part, the chulin part of my Korban, then the kedusha of the coins will apply to the animal, to Shimon's part in the animal. And since the kedusha of the coins is now becoming valid on a part of the korban that was chulin, then the coins become chulin in place of what was chulin in the animal. That would be a basic reading of Rebbe. So even before we continue, we now have another explanation. We have already an answer to the original question. The original question was, how do you have a case where somebody can take money which is kodesh and, so to speak, have a part in an animal that was kodesh and the money becomes chulin? Yes, because Rebbe holds there's a concept called al menos kenigdishu Yisrael es pischem, which means that part of the Korban Pesach was left over, did not become kodesh, it became chulin. And as we said before, when something kodesh is redeeming something of choil, then where it's, so to speak, buying something choil with kodesh, then the kedusha gets transferred from the coins onto the chulin part of the animal, and now the coins, they are no longer kodesh. So we already have an explanation, another explanation in our original braisa. But now we actually have a machlokes amiroim, how to understand this machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rebbe. Rabba v'Rabzeira. There's going to be a machlokes actually in Rebbe. When Rebbe, in both, let's see the Gemara. There's a machlokes, Chad Omar, one of the two opinions, either Rabba or Abzeira holds. Omar, Be'etzim Litzliyosoi, Kule Alma Loi Pligi. Everybody agrees, and that applies to the Tanakhama, which is what the Tanakhama said. If you haven't got Me'yois Miseh, I haven't got enough money in order to actually make the Korban Pesach and buy woods to roast the Korban Pesach, then everybody agrees that you can use the money that Reuven receives, he can use that money to buy woods to roast the Korban Pesach. To kiven de tekanto de Pesachu, since it's being used in order to fix and prepare the Korban Pesach, kegufa de Pesach domi. It's as if it's the part of the Korban Pesach has the same status, and therefore he can use that money, which is kodesh, it was made hektish for Pesach, he can use it to buy the woods to roast the Korban Pesach. Ki pligi, where's their machloikus between the Tanakhama and Rebbe? It's only b'matzah or morer. If he doesn't have money to buy matzahs or morer, then can Reuven use the money that he got from Shimon to buy matzahs and morer? So Rabbonon Sovri, the Rabbonon say, ho achila achritahi. They said no. The Chachomim say that the money was dedicated for and designated for Korban Pesach, and you can only use it for Korban Pesach or for the woods to roast the Korban Pesach, but not for other eatings like matzah and morer. V'Rebbe Sova, and Rebbe holds, Kiven dechshiroi de Pesachu, since the matzah and morer is a hechsher, it's part of the eating of the Korban Pesach, I need the matzah and morer to fully fulfill the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach, therefore, kegufa de Pesach domi. So in this opinion of Rebbe, in this first version, it's either Rabba or Abzeira, the first opinion in the name of Rebbe, what he actually says is that even according to Rebbe, the money is not chulin. You can't use it for whatever you want. You can only use it for Korban Pesach. The question just was, is matzah morer considered Korban Pesach or not? And Rebbe says it is. But according to this opinion, then even according to Rebbe, you cannot use the money as chulin for whatever you want. Why can you not use the money for chulin? Obviously, because the money, the korban itself, was completely and fully hektish. And since it was fully hektish, and there was no part of the korban that still considered chulin, therefore these hektish coins, the kedusha of these coins, had nowhere to go to. And therefore the coins remained kedusha. And therefore Reuven can only use these coins for something that's serving the korban Pesach, even if it's matzah and morer. That's the first opinion according to Rebbe. And just before we continue, Tosfos says that if we were to stop here, we would have another explanation for our braisa. that how can you have in the Braisa? The Braisa says that Reuven can use the coins as if they're chulin. So you know what Tosfos says? According to this opinion, you know what chulin means? Chulin means that it doesn't have to be used for the burning of the Korban Pesach itself, for the roasting of the Korban Pesach itself. It can even be used for matzah and moror. Matzah and moror themselves are not a korban. They're not hegdish. So when it says chulin, what it actually means, what it could mean, is matzah or moror, which is chulin. However, Rebbe says that even though it's called chulin, it's not really chulin, because he's using it for, and he's serving the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach needs the matzah and moror. So the money retains its kedusha, and nonetheless can be used to buy something chulin, which is matzah and moror, because the matzah and moror is an annex to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So that's just, by the way, that Tosfos says that according to this opinion, we already have another explanation in the Braisa we started with. Continues the Gemara. So that was the first opinion. That the first opinion says that even Rebbe holds that the money stays kodesh. It stays hektish and can only be used if it's serving the Korban Pesach. V'chad Omar, the other opinion holds, no. B'matzo moro nami kule alma loy pligi. The second opinion, either Rabbo or Abzeira, holds that everybody agrees that you are allowed to buy, if the coins are hektish, then you're allowed to buy matzah and moror with it. Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, that matzah and moror is actually serving the Korban Pesach, even though they of themselves are not hekdesh, they are not the Korban Pesach, but they're needed for the Korban Pesach, as it says in the Pasuk, al matzah isum roirim yoichluhu, the Korban Pesach should be eaten with matzah and moror. So if you have no matzah and moror, they'll be lacking in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and therefore even the Tanakama of this Braisa holds that you can use it to buy matzo moro. It's not called that you're using it for something which is not related to Korban Pesach. The kiven de machshir and de Pesach ninu, since it's helping us do the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, ke Pesach domi, it's considered as part of Pesach, and therefore when Shimon designated these coins for Korban Pesach, it included not only the woods for the to roast the Korban Pesach, but even the matzo moro. Ki pligi, so what was the machloikas, the Tanakama and Rebbe? Ki pligi is likach boy choluk. What happens if this person, he needs to buy himself a new shirt? Likach boy talis, he needs a cloak, he wants to buy another garment, nothing to do with the Korban Pesach. So here the Rabbonon sovri, the Rabbonon say no. Mihi yois miseh. The Rabbonon, as we said before, they read the Pasuk. Im yimat habayis mihi yois miseh. You're only allowed to use the money. And as the Pasuk says, v'lokachu u'shcheinu akorav, you can only take money and add in your neighbors into your Korban Pesach if the money is going to be used for Korban Pesach in one way or another, but not to be used for something totally unrelated. Omer achmona, hechyehu l'seh, that you can have extra sustenance, you can get extra money if it's serving the lamb, the Korban Pesach. Rebbe sova, Rebbe says no. Rebbe says, hachye atzmecho miseh, which means im yimat habayis mihayos, if you're just lacking hayos, you're lacking chius, then miseh, you're allowed to take a coin from Shimon to register on your Korban Pesach, and that coin is totally and entirely chulin. How did that happen? How did that coin become totally chulin? So we're going to see later that the way that happened was because this opinion holds, as we said before, that the Korban Pesach itself was only partially made hekdush. And as we saw before in the Braisa, Rebbe said she'almanos keinigdishu Yisrael es pischein, that there was a certain limitation to the level of hekdush that applied to the animal. It was only partially, when Reuven made his Korban Pesach hekdush, what he meant was, part of it is hekdush for me, the rest will stay chulin, and I'll actually sell that part. If the whole thing is hekdush, there's nothing to sell. Reuven can't sell it. He can receive a gift from Shimon and then give Shimon the permission to be registered on the Korban Pesach. But according to this opinion, no, only half of it is hekdush. Half of it is still chulin, belongs to Reuven. Reuven will then sell part of the chulin part to Shimon in exchange for a hektish coin. The kedusha of the coin will then apply to that part of the Korban Pesach that's now designated for Shimon, and the coins, because it's been redeemed, the kedusha will be completely chulin, and Reuven can do with it whatever he wants. It does not have to serve the Korban Pesach. So what we've actually seen here, the machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Zeira, that one of them hold that the entire Korban Pesach is hektish. And since the entire Korban Pesach is hektish, therefore the coins that are used, the hektish coins, are not chulin. And the second opinion holds, that actually when he makes the Korban Hekdesh, only part of the Korban is Hekdesh, and then when the Hekdesh coins are, so to speak, buying part of the Chulin part of the animal, making it Hekdesh, then the coins become Chulin. This was the Rebbe that we saw, and we have two opinions in Rebbe whether the coins become Chulin or not. Let's move to source number two. We're going back in the Gemara now to the second wide line. Maihi Dereb Oishia. We know there's a concept called Rebbe. We just now learned Rebbe. There were two versions in the Machlokes, Rabbah and Rav Zeira, about in Rebbe, where the Rebbe says that you have to use the money that Reuven receives from Shimon only to serve Korban Pesach, or is it completely Chulin? That was Rebbe. And now we have a Rebbe Oishia. Let's see what Rebbe Oishia says. Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Temura. Nosan lo mukdoshin be'esnena. If somebody, chas v'shalom, is trying to give payment to a prostitute for doing an avera, and he gives her a korban, if Reuven has a korban, and he gives that korban, or an animal which is hektish, and he gives the animal which is hektish, he gives it to chas v'shalom azayna as payment. Hareinu mutorin. The korbonis stay as kodesh as they were before, and it didn't belong to Reuven to give away, it belongs to Hekdesh. The fact that you chose to give it to this woman, that's just too bad. But the nothing that you can do to this animal is going to change its status now. It's a Hekdesh korban, it doesn't belong to you. Hareilu mutorin. Oifois dechulin. What happens if a person takes birds of which are not Hekdesh? From Chulin, and he gives it to this prostitute as payment. Harei elu asurin. From that point on, it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's called esnan zayna, and it's similar to something called mechir kelev, an item that you get in exchange for a dog. Esnan zayna or mechir kelev that are not allowed to be used as a korban, and they are osur. Once he's given this animal, which was still chulin, and given it to the zayna as an esnan as a payment, then it can no longer be used as a korban. Shahoya b'din, logic dictates, umay mukdoshim, shehamun poisel b'hem, that, and this is really a question, but logic would dictate that if korbonois, where we know that korbonois, a blemish regarding a korban, is it makes the korban poisel. Ein esnanu mechir chalalein, and you just said now that if somebody gives a korban as payment for a zoyna, that the korban is still kosher, giving payment to zoyna is not as serious and doesn't affect the korban as much as a mum does, as a blemish does, then oifois she'einan mum poisel bohen, then regarding birds, where a blemish doesn't affect birds, even if it's a korban. And this is learnt out from in other places in Shas that tamos v'zachros b'oifois ein, etc., that there's no such thing. And therefore, since it's easier to bring a korban from a blemished bird, because the blemishes don't passel a bird for a korban, einu din she'ein esnanu mechir cholalein, is it not, can we not take it for granted that if an irregular korban, where blemish does passel it, esnan doesn't, birds where blemish doesn't passel it, then of course an esnan won't passel it, which is contrary to what we just said now at the beginning of the Mishnah. Talmud Loima, that's why we have a special posuk, L'chol Neder. The posuk says, L'isovi esnan zayno mechir kelev beis Hashem elikecho, L'chol Neder, for any offering in the Beis HaMikdosh. L'rabbi says, Oifois, from the extra words, L'chol Neder, it tells us that even birds, even though a mum doesn't passel them, however, since it was given before the birds became hektish, it was given as an esnan, therefore it's now possible to be brought as a korban. And the Gemara is now asking the opposite way around. Kal v'chomer l'mukdoshin. If so, why don't you make a kal v'chomer that if we have a posuk to say that esnan zayna passels a bird, why don't you say the same for something, an animal that's already hekdesh? Me'ato, ma oifois she'ena mum poisel behem. If birds, where mum doesn't puzzle them, esnanu mechir chalalein, nonetheless, we learn from the posuk of l'chol neder that esnan zoino does puzzle it, mukdoshin, then a korban she'amum poisel behem, which is easier to make puzzle than a bird, einu din she'esnanu mechir chalalein, is it not taken for granted that esnan zoino or mechir kelev should make it possible? And how can you say before, we said earlier in the Mishnah that b'mukdoshin, if you give the korban to a for a zoyna, it's not possible? How can that be? How can the birds be more possible than the korban? Says the Mishnah Talmud Loimar l'chol neder, that it says in the posuk that it's the only time where there's an issue is when you want to make something into a korban for the Beis HaMikdosh, prat l'nodor, to exclude nodor, something that's already been designated for the Beis HaMikdosh. From that point on, mechir kelev and esnan zayno doesn't apply. So we learn from one word, from the word l'chol neder, that birds, esnan does apply to them if they're chulin. If it's given when they're chulin, then the psul of esnan and mechir apply to them, they can no longer be used as a korban. And we learn from the pasuk also that by mukdoshin, once something is already a korban, it does not become posel when it's been given to a zoyna. So says the Gemara, elotayma de kosav rachmona neder. So you're telling me that if we wouldn't have the special posuk l'chol neder, then indeed I would entertain, because of this kal v'chomer, I would entertain the idea that if birds are become posel because of esnan and mechir, the same will apply to korbonis. And you have this kal v'chomer, that korbonis are easier to make posel than birds, and if birds are posel from mechir and esnan, the same will apply to regular korbonis. And that's why we need the special posuk. Holav hochi. If not for the pasuk, havamina, I would have said mukdoshin chal iser esnan alehin, that the iser of esnan will make a psul in a mukdoshin, in a korban. Asks the Gemara of ha'in adam oiser davar she'ein shelo. So it seems from the Mishnah that you need a special pasuk to say that esnan doesn't apply to korban, to hekdesh, otherwise it would. There's a big question. This animal doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Hektish. There's nothing you can do. It's like, what does payment for Esnan mean? Since you gave this money, since this object was used as payment, then it can no longer be used as a korban. If it was used for payment for a zoyna or exchanged for a dog. But if it's a korban, when you give payment from a korban, the korban's not yours. You can't use it for payment. It's not yours to give to anybody. And therefore, it's not called esnan. So why do I need a posuk to say that a korban that's given as payment to a zoyna is not posel, it's still mutter? I don't need a posuk. Omer b'oishia. So this is where b'oishia said, I'll explain to you why I need a posuk. And without the posuk, I may have thought that the korban does become posel. Says Rabbi Ishia, that you know which korban we're talking about? Which mukdoshin? You're right. Regular korbanos don't belong to him, they belong to Hekdesh, and even if he gives it as payment, it's not his to give as payment. There's one type of korban that even though it's mukdoshin, even though it's a korban, it's still yours. We have to see how that works. But it's so to speak, considered as if it's yours, at least as part of the korban, which is still yours. And then if you give that animal as a payment to the zoyna, then there's a good chance that at least that part of it now becomes osur. And that's why I need the pasuk to say no. Even though part of it is yours and is not hekdush and is considered as payment, nonetheless the korban is kosher. What case do we have where korban is mukdoshin? Nonetheless, it still belongs somewhat to a private person, to the owner. Says Rabbi Ishia, yeah, we're talking about a korban pesach. Where Korban Pesach, and if a Reuven has a Korban Pesach, and then he wants to add the Zoyna, wants to register her as payment for an Aveira, he's registering the Zoyna on his Korban Pesach. Is the part that this other person, before we called him Shimon, now it's a Zoyna, is the part that Reuven is giving, is going to give to the Zoyna, Does that, is that part belonging to Hekdesh yet? Or is it still chulin? Is there shiur? Has he left over when he made the Korban Pesach? Is it as if he said explicitly, I'm leaving part of it over to be mine that I can then sell to others? In which case it will be payment. Says Abayisha, yes. But memane zoyne al pischoy v'rebihi. Do you remember Rebbe we learned before? Rebbe who said, and this is according to the second opinion of Rebbe, the second opinion of Rebbe said that you can use the money, Reuven can use the money received from Shimon for anything, even if it's not related to Korban Pesach. He can even buy new clothes with it. How can that be? How could the coins that we assume Shimon made, or that Shimon made into Hekdesh, it was designated for Korban Pesach, how can they become Chulin? It must be that there's part of the Korban Pesach that was Chulin still. And then the Hekdesh bought that part of the Korban. Now that part of the Korban is Hekdesh and the coins go to Chulin. So Rabbi says, do you remember Rebbe? Rebbe who said the coins become Chulin? How did the coins become Chulin? Because part of the animal was not Hekdesh. So that's exactly the case the Mishnah in Temura is talking about. If I've got a Korban Pesach, part of it belonged to the owner still, even though he designated this for Korban Pesach. But he sort of made a condition and said, I'm leaving over certain parts to sell to others. And now he's using part of what he's left over and giving it as payment to the Zoyna and allowing her, instead of getting a coin from her, he's getting an Aveira from her. Then now she's registered on this Korban Pesach. I may have thought that the Korban is possible. That's why I needed the Mishnah in Temura to tell me. No. That nonetheless we learn from a pasuk of Kol Neder and not Kol Nodur, since this Korban has already been designated for Korban Pesach, then the Isser of Esnan and Mechir will not apply to this Korban. So here you have Reb Oishia who's using Rebbe, and he's understanding in Rebbe, in the second version of Rebbe, he's understanding that the reason that the money is Chulin is because part of the Korban remained Chulin. And since part of the Korban remained Chulin, that's why I need a pasuk to say that Esnan does not make it possible. That was Reb Oishia. Now let's go right to the beginning of the Omud, back to where we left off before. And let's remember we have an issue here that the Braisa says that if Shimon gives Reuven a coin to be registered on his Korban Pesach, that coin is completely Chulin and Reuven can do whatever he wants with it. That's the basic interpretation of Chulin. We saw before in the name of Tosfos a bit different, but the Gemara assumes that Chulin means you can use it for anything you want. And we have a question. Ulla or Reb Oishia had an issue. How can it become Chulin? Let's now see what Abaye has got to say. Omar Abaye. Abaye is actually commenting on Reb Oishia's understanding of the Mishnah in Temura. The Mishnah in Temura just said that there is a specific type of mukdoshin, a specific type of korban, that even though it's a korban, if I wouldn't have a special posuk, then even though it's a korban, the virtue of the fact that I gave it as payment to a zoino, I would have thought that the korban becomes posel. And the Gemara says, how can that be? It's not yours to give as payment. How could the fact that you gave it to the zoino, why should it have any effect on the korban? Why should I need a posuk to say that the korban remains kosher? So Reb Oishia said, it's talking about Korban Pesach following Rebbe. Abaye said, Ilav do'i k'mei Reb Oishia lahahi. If not for the Reb Oishia, for the way that Reb Oishia explained that Mishnah, that b'meman ezoin al pischa is talking about giving it as payment to ezoinah to be registered on the Korban Pesach, the Rebbe who, and then assuming that's the explanation in Rebbe, that the reason that according to the second opinion in Rebbe that we saw in the Gemara, but that according to Rebbe, the mois are chulin, then, which is what we just saw now, v'rebihi, havamoik minole ayabaye would have explained the Mishnah in Temura. And let's remember, the Mishnah in Temura is not talking about coins. There's no coins there. It's talking about just the Korban Pesach. The part of the Korban, or the way we thought it was talking about Korban Pesach, we're talking about a Korban being given as payment to a Zoyna. There's no coins here. So beforehand we said, by Korban Pesach, part of the animal is chulin. And like Rebbe said, as we saw before in Rebbe, that part of the animal stays chulin, and therefore I may have thought that the korban should become posel. Abaye says, no, I'm going to give you another type of korban where you need a posel to say that it's not posel if you give it to a zoyna, and even though it's a korban, without that posel, I may have thought it's yours, and therefore you do have the permission to give it as payment, even though it's a korban. Normally we say, Ein adam oiseh davar she'eino shelo, it's not yours, it's not considered payment. Abaye says, no. There's a case where there's a korban, where even though it's a korban, not talking about korban Pesach, that was Rabbi Shia's explanation. Abaye says it's not korban Pesach, and nonetheless, it's hektish and it's yours. And therefore, if you give it to a zayna, I may have thought that it's going to become posel. What case is that? I'll explain it. That Mishnah, bekochim kalim, it's referring to regular kochim kalim, which is many different types of korbonis in the bracket of the lighter type of kochim, not koche kochim, kochim kalim. Valimba de Rabbi Yosi Aglini. There's the famous opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglini de Omar, who holds koche kalim momin bailimhu, that kochim kalim are actually considered, even though it's hektish, it's considered as if it's the money of the owners. And therefore, on the one hand, it's mukdoshim, it's a korban. On the other hand, it's considered the money of the owners. So that's what the Mishnah there is saying. That, and this is how Abaye wanted to explain that Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that if you take kochim kalim, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it belongs to you, even though it's a korban. You give it as payment to a zayna, I may have thought it becomes posel, because in as much as it's considered momin bailim, the money of the owners, it's considered payment to the zayna, and it should become osser. That's why I have the need a special posel to say, no, since it's a korban, it doesn't become osser. Now, why does Abaye prefer to explain the Mishnah saying it's kochim kalim? What reservation did Abaye have against the way Rabbi Ishiya explained it? So Abaye says, I'll tell you what my reservation was. Avol Pesach loy mashayir inish. Let's go back to Rebbe now. Rebbe said you can use the money for anything you want, even to buy new clothes, which means that Rebbe held that that these coins are completely chulin. How did Rabbi Ishiya understand that? Rabbi Ishiya understood the reason Rebbe says the coins are completely chulin in that second opinion of Rebbe, says that it's completely chulin is because part of the animal was chulin. Only part of it became korban Pesach. That's called that bePesach shir. There's leftover part of the korban Pesach that wasn't considered korban Pesach. And that's how Rav Oishia could use that understanding in Rebbe to explain the Mishnah about the Zayna. That there you have a korban, and it belongs partially to the owner. It's called a korban Pesach, that he registered the Zayna on the korban Pesach. But Abaye doesn't agree with that. Abaye says, I've got a different explanation in Rebbe. When Rebbe says those coins are chulin, it's not because part of the animal was chulin and the kedusha of the coins actually transferred onto the animal and therefore the kedusha became redeemed and the coins are chulin. That's not why. That's what Rabbi Ishiya says, but that's not why. Abaye says, you know why the coins are chulin? Because not that there's part of the korban that's not hektish, but part of the coins. When a person designates coins for korban Pesach, it so to speak makes a condition that it could be I'm going to use these coins to buy a share or to give a gift to an owner of a korban Pesach. It's not called buying, because Abaye says that a korban Pesach is always a whole korban is korban Pesach, none of it is chulin. So if none of it is chulin, you can't buy a part in the korban Pesach. You can give the owner a gift in order to be given permission to be registered in the korban Pesach. So Abaye says that there's a condition that when a person designates coins, it's as if he's saying explicitly, I might use these coins to buy a korban Pesach, but I might use it to give to the owner of a korban Pesach in order that these coins will then remain chulin. So that's what Abaye says. And if that's the explanation in Rebbe why the coins are mutter, but the korban Pesach itself is always completely hektish, and there's nothing, no part of the korban that's not hektish, then you can't explain the Mishnah in Tmura saying that the reason I need a posuk to say that the by mukdoshin, by a korban, that the zayna doesn't pasel it, is because we're talking about a korban Pesach. According to Abaye, that wouldn't help. Because no part of the korban Pesach is actually chulin, and therefore the question comes back. You can't give it as payment. There's no way in the world that you can make this korban Pesach as payment for a zayna. It's not yours. And therefore, Abaye has to have a different explanation and say it's kochim kalim according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Let's see that inside. at the Abaye is saying that the way that I'm explaining the Zayna in the Mishnah in Tmura is not like Rabbi Ishia, rather like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And the point why I'm arguing with Rabbi Ishia is because Rabbi Ishia says that this part of the korban is left over as chulin. I Abaye argue with that. Avul bePesach loy mashayir inish. A person does not leave over any part of a korban Pesach to be chulin. B'mois, however, regarding the coins, vaday mashayir inish. The person that's designating coins for korban Pesach, he is saying, he's almost explicitly saying that these coins could remain chulin if they're given to an owner of a korban Pesach to have a share in his korban Pesach. The mikorav from the start ki mafrish lo, when he designates and separates these coins, adata dehochi mafrish lo. It's with this in mind that he's separating the coins. Vaho, and this brisa we started with, when the coins that Reuven received from Shimon are completely chulin, Rebbe. It's Rebbe, according to my understanding, says Abaye, that the coins, there's a shiur, there's a condition that some do to separate coins that he's having in mind that they may stay chulin and not be hektish. Therefore, that's why the money that Reuven receives from Shimon is chulin. The Pesach loy meshayir inish, ubamois vaday meshayir inish. Vahahi de kamoiki lo Reb Oishia kerebi, loy mekmina lo ano kerebi, de Pesach loy meshayir inish. That Mishnah in Tmura, that Reb Oishia explained that the reason the korban itself, the korban Pesach, possibly could have been compulsory by being given to a Zoyna, that Reb Oishia said is based on Rebbe, because Reb Oishia's understanding in Rebbe was that part of the Korban Pesach stays chulin and is not hektish. I argue with that. The Pesach loy mashayir inish. I don't want to follow that, because I, Abaye, say that a person who makes a Korban Pesach doesn't keep any of it chulin. Ubamois mashayir inish. The mikara ki mafrish lu adaita docha mafrish lu. There's some repetitions here, and that's why there's brackets taking out some of the words, but The reason that the mois are chulin are because in the mois, the money themselves were conditioned that it could be that they would become chulin. And now so we've already had one explicit explanation in the Gemara to this brisa, and that is that according to Abaye's understanding in Rebbe, we can understand why the mois are chulin, because according to Rebbe, according to Abaye's understanding, there's a condition when you separate the coins that if they're going to be given to somebody who owns a Korban Pesach, that those coins will be chulin. Now the Gemara is saying, but I've got another explanation in that brisa. Why did Abaye not choose that? Don't suggest another explanation. And what it means to say is, in the same way as Abaye explained the Mishnah in Tmura, that it's following Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that kochim kalim amamun bailim. And since it's Mom and Bailim, as we explained before, how Abaye explained the Mishnah in Tmura, we thought that it could be, since it belongs somewhat to the owners, giving it to the Zoyna is considered as payment, and without the Pasuk it would actually make it possible. So why don't you say the same here? Why don't you say that since the Korban Pesach is Kochim Kalim, and Kochim Kalim is Mom and Bailim, and since it belongs to the owners somewhat, when Shimon gives Reuven the coins, then he's redeeming the part that belongs to Reuven, the part that's Kochim Kalim, that Momin Bailim, the Momin Bailim part is now being bought by Shimon's coins, and that's why the coins are chulin. Why didn't Abaye just use that Rabbi Yosi Aglili to explain this brisa? Says the Gemara, it would be a good solution, and this is actually solution number, this is another solution in the Gemara. It would have been a good solution, but we have proof elsewhere in this brisa that the brisa happens not to be following Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Why? Because how did the brisa continue? If somebody sells his korban oila or his korban shlomim to somebody else, it's hektish, it's not yours to sell, and therefore it's invalid, the sale is invalid. And according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that wouldn't be true. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that says that Kochim Kalim Momin Bailim Haim, if somebody sells Kochim Kalim to somebody else, the sale would be valid. So it happens to be that the Brisa is telling us, don't explain me according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, I don't follow Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So if it's not Rabbi Yosi Aglili, then what is it? Then it's either like Rashi suggested right at the beginning of the Sugya, in the event Shimon's coins were never hektish, then of course there's no reason that they should become hektish. That would be one. But the Rashi says that probably not the explanation in the Braisa, because that would be too straightforward. The Braisa wouldn't have to say that. We must be talking about coins that have been separated for Korban Pesach. And then the Gemara had one explanation, according to Abaye's understanding in Rebbe, that a person leaves over a condition when he separates the coins, that in the event they're going to be given to an owner of a Korban Pesach, they will be given as chulin. And that was a second explanation. A third one would have been Rabbi Yosi Aglili, but it cannot be, because we just said now the Braisa itself seems to say that it's not like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And Abaye is now saying that all that would have been good had Rabbi Oishia not said what he said. Because Abaye would have assumed that person does not leave over any part of the korban itself as chulin. But now that Rabbi Oishia did explain the Mishnah in Tmura, and over there's no coins, it's only the korban Pesach, and Rabbi Oishia said explicitly that it's talking about where he gave the Zoyna her part in a korban Pesach, and without the posuk, I may have thought that it's actually posul. It must verebihi. And that's the explanation in Rebbe, who says in the Braisa that you can use the coins for anything because it's chulin. Rabbi Oishia understood that the reason the coins are chulin is not because you had left over parts of the coins, a condition in the coins, that it would be chulin. No, the coins are completely hegdish. But the reason that they become chulin is because there's part of the korban which is chulin, and then the kedusha of the coins apply to the animal, and that's why the coins go out lechulin. And that's going to be a third explanation, another explanation in this braisa. So Abaye says, I would have explained the braisa, the reason Shimon's coins are chulin is because there's a condition that the coins are going to be chulin if they're used this way. But he says, now that we have Rabbi Oishia would explain the braisa that the reason that the coins are chulin is because you're actually buying with the hektish money, you're buying the chulin part of the korban that didn't become hektish. And Abaye is saying that from Rabbi Oishia's words, you see that even in the Korban Pesach itself, of course with the money there's a Tanai. But not only with the money, even the Korban Pesach itself, a person who designates a Korban for Korban Pesach has in mind that parts of it will stay chulin, that he can actually sell to other people to join in. That's the Abaye, and with the two or three explanations in the original Braisa. And then the Gemara says, Ma'idu Rabbi Oishia, and we already know what Rabbi Oishia is. Rabbi Oishia was explaining the Mishnah in Tmura, as we learned before, and then the Gemara carries on, Rebbe Ma'i, what is Rebbe? And we saw that Rebbe holds, according to the second version in Rebbe, Rebbe holds that the coins are completely chulin, and then we had Rabbi Oishia's explanation in Rebbe that he leaves over part of the Korban Pesach, which is chulin, or we had Abaye's explanation in Rebbe, who would say that he doesn't leave anything over in the Korban Pesach, but he leaves over the choice in the coins to stay chulin. We saw that before. Now let's move to right to where we left off before, four lines before the Mishnah. Ula Abaye, now the Gemara is asking, Ula Abaye, do Omar Abaye's explanation in Rebbe, that the reason the coins are chulin is because he's actually left over, he sort of almost made a condition when he's designated the coins for Korban Pesach, that in the event they're going to be used to have a share in somebody else's Korban Pesach, then those coins will be chulin. According to Abaye, the Omar Ilav the Oikma Rabbi Oishia, that if not for Rabbi Oishia having said his explanation, Lahahi, that Mishnah in Tmura b'mane zoyna al pischoi v'rebihi, then Abaye would have said, Havamoik minon lo b'kochim kalim. Abaye would have explained the Mishnah in Tmura that we're talking about kochim kalim v'aribad Rabbi Glili, the Omar kochim kalim momen b'ailim hu. But then Avol b'pesach loimashai inish, and the point where Abaye actually would have argued on Rabbi Oishia is this point where Abaye would have said that somebody who designates a Korban Pesach, no part of it is left as chulin. If so, according to Abaye, Hoktoni behedya, let's have a closer look at Rebbe. What did Rebbe actually say? Rebbe said, Umoyis shebayodoi chulin, that the money that the owner of the Korban Pesach receives a chulin. Why? She'almanos kenig dishu Yisrael es pischem. Because it was on that condition and on those terms that anybody who designates and is makdish a Korban Pesach, he does it with those terms that somebody else, that's part of it, would stay chulin, somebody else will be able to buy it. And you see, Rebbe is clearly saying that the condition, the tanai, was on the Pesach, not on the coins. According to Abaye, Abaye says that nobody would leave over part of a Korban Pesach to be chulin, and it's just the coins that can stay chulin. How's Abaye going to read this into Rebbe? Hoktoni behed yeshal menos kein gdishu yisrael es pesachim. Answers the Gemara, Abaye is going to read into that Ema, shal menos kein gdishu yisrael mois pesachim. That the condition is not, or the reason that Rebbe says the mois achulin is not because the one that has separated and designated the Korban Pesach has left part of it chulin. No, it's the mois pesachim, it's the money that's been designated to have a share in Korban Pesach. There's a condition there that if it's going to be given to an owner of Korban Pesach, it will be given as chulin. Continues the next Mishnah. And before we start the next Mishnah, let's introduce and outline the number of halachas that we're going to be discussing on the next Omud. We know that a tomei person is not allowed to eat any korbonos, he's not allowed to eat kochim. Korban Pesach is a korban, so anybody who is tomei is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. The question is, what happens with the type of person if whose status on the day of the 14th of Nisan is such that he wouldn't be allowed to eat any korbonos, but he will be able to, or we can rely, or he could possibly bring himself to a situation that he would be able to eat from the Korban Pesach on the night of the 15th. The question is, do we shecht the Korban Pesach for such a person, relying that when it gets to the night of the 15th, he'll be able to eat from that Korban Pesach that was shechted on his behalf? Or do we say no? Do we say, since at the time of shechting Korban Pesach, this person has some level of tomei still attached to him, we do not shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf? That's going to be the discussion here. What makes a person tohir? Well, number one, whichever tomei he was tomei, he has to go to the mikveh at the right time. We'll soon discuss the details. He has to go to mikveh. After mikveh, he has to wait till the end of the day that he went to the mikveh. When he went to mikveh, he becomes a tvul yoim, which is much less of a level of tumah than the tumah he was originally. But since he has to wait till Her of Shemesh, until Shkia, at the end of the day, only then he's allowed to eat korbonis. Besides for that, in certain tumahs, after the day after he became tohir, the person actually has to bring a korban, and such a person is called mechusar kapora. He's lacking atonement until he brings his korban, and he's not allowed to eat any korbonis until he's brought the relevant korbonis. Now, let's just discuss five of the tumahs, and those that are going to be discussed in the next omud. So you have tumas sheretz, a person who touched a dead sheretz, he's tomei, that he becomes tomei, he can go to mikveh that very day, wait till the end of the day for Her of Shemesh, and in the evening he can eat the Korban Pesach, or he can eat any korbonis. That's regarding a tumas sheretz. A tumas mace, if somebody became tomei because he touched a dead person, he's tomei for 7 days, and he has to do whatever he has to do during those 7 days, and then on day 7 he can go to the mikveh, and on the night of the 8th, he can eat korbonos. Then we have different types of tumois, which are called zov, zovo, and nido, which are closely related, but very different. Zov is a tumah that comes out of a man, and aloch is, if a zov has two ra'iyos, he sees ziva twice, and there's many alochas in Masechet Zovim, what's the halachas of Zov, the halachas of Zova. We're just outlining them very briefly for what we need in this sugya. A Zov has to, after he sees his Ziva, his Zov, he has to wait 7 days, clean days. On day 7, he can go to the mikvah in the day. Then, and in the evening, providing he didn't see any Ziva during the day, then in the evening, he's completely tohir and he can eat korbonis. If Zov saw 3 ra'iyos, then not only does he have to wait the 7 days, go to mikveh and wait for Her of Shemesh, but on the 8th day he has to bring a korban. Before he brings the korban, he cannot eat any korbonis. That's the halachas of Zov. In Zova, which is a woman who sees these dam, which is Ziva, and it's very complicated, but a woman, sometimes when she sees dam, it's called Ziva, sometimes it's called Nida. It depends where in her monthly cycles she's seeing when she's seeing it, and it's very complicated, the calculations. We're not going into that now, but in the event that she sees a re'iyah, she sees dam, on any one day in those days that are called Ziva days, then since she only saw dam one day, she has to keep a clean day the next day. She has to make sure she sees no dam the next day. She goes to the mikveh, and in the evening, she can eat korbanos. If a woman sees twice, then same story. Day three, she has to be shemeres yom keneged yom, to have one clean day, go to mikveh, hair of shemesh, and then she can eat korbanos. If a woman saw three re'iyos in the zavah days, then she has to wait seven clean days, and then on day seven, she can go to the mikveh. In the night of the eighth, she's hair of shemesh, but she has to bring a korban on the eighth day before she can eat any korbanos. Nida, which has similarities to Ziva, but is different. And in the case of Nida, she has to wait seven full days from when she started seeing, and that's when she sees dam during those days in the calculations, which are called the Nida days. If she sees dam in those days, then the dam makes her Nida, not Zava. And if she sees dam, she needs to wait 7 days. They do not necessarily have to be clean days. Then on the night of the eighth day, this is one of the exceptions where she cannot go to the mikveh on the day of the seventh day. Unlike the others that we mentioned, that they can go to the mikveh on the last day already, because the very fact that they were clean or tohir part of that last day, it's as if she's counted the whole day. Nida is different, and you have to wait a full 7 days. She goes to mikveh in the night of the eighth day, and hair of shemesh for her will only be at the end of the eighth day, the night of the ninth day. And just to make it very clear, so chas v'shalom, there shouldn't be any takolos, that the halachas of Nida that we practice today are very different to the way I just outlined them, because we don't know exactly when the halachas of Nida apply, when the halachas of Ziva apply. So the practical applications of Hilchas Nida today must be learned from a competent authority. In the Shulchan Aruch discusses it at length, and chas v'shalom, nobody should take today's shir as being halachic guidelines for the Nida that we know today. Says the Mishnah, Zav, if a person, a man who saw Tuma, Shara shtei re'iyos, he saw two re'iyos, twice he saw Ziva, and the halacha is he has to wait 7 days and go to mikveh, hair of shemesh, he does not need to bring a korban. Sheichatin olav b'shvi, on his seventh day, they can shecht, even though on the seventh day he cannot eat a korban. But since at the night, the eighth night, he can already eat from korbanos, and since he only has to eat the korban pesach on the night of the 15th, if the day of the 14th was his seventh day, then one can shecht for him. Ra shalish, if the zav saw three re'iyos, then he has to bring a korban on the eighth day, then sheichatin olav b'shmini shaloi, then they can only shecht for him if erev pesach is his eighth day. So if he's already brought the korban, his korban of zav, then there's no discussion. He can eat korbanos now. When they're shechting, he can already eat. But even in the event that he has not yet brought his korban, and it's a big challenge, it's a problem, because the korban of Zov has to be brought before the korban Tomit Shel Beinu Arbaim, and the korban Pesach is shechted after the korban Tomit Shel Beinu Arbaim. But the Mishnah says, nonetheless, the mitzvah of bringing the korban Pesach overrides the issue of not shechting a korban after the Tomit Shel Beinu Arbaim. So if the time of Korban Pesach has arrived, and this person, it's his eighth day, and he has not yet brought a Korban, the Mishnah says, we shecht the Korban Pesach, trusting that he'll bring his Korban sometime before the end of the day, and he'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach in the evening. Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, and this is a woman who sees Ziva just one day, then on the next day, the day that she goes to the mikveh in the hope that she'll be clean that whole day, they shecht the korban pesach for her, even though she has to wait until the end of the day before she can eat korbanos, but since she only has to eat the korban pesach in the night, we can shecht it for her. If she saw 2 days, and we said in the case of the Zava, if she sees 2 days, it's the same as seeing one day, that she just has to be Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, she just has to watch one clean day on day three. Shechtin Oleo Bishlishi, on her third day, which is that one day that has to be clean, they can shecht for her, because by the time the night comes, she'll be able to eat the korban. Hazova, If she's what we call a Zava Gedoila, that means she saw three Re'ios, then she has to, besides for waiting the 7 days and going to mikvah on day seven, she has to bring a korban on day eight. So if Erev Pesach is day seven, there's no way in the world that she can eat the korban Pesach on the night of the 15th. You can't shecht the korban Pesach on her behalf if we know she can't eat it. But if Erev Pesach is her day eight, then we can assume and hope that she'll bring her korban of ziva sometime during the day, and shechtin oleo, they can shecht for her bishmini on that eighth day, and then in the night she'll be able to eat from the korban Pesach. That's the Gemara. That's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav said as follows: Sheichatin v'zoyrkin al tvul yoim. Anybody who's called a tvul yoim, that means anyone who does not need a korban, and all they needed was mikvah, and they went to the mikvah, and now all they need is to wait till the end of the day, one's allowed to shecht the korban for them, because we know that they'll eat it in the night when they will be tahir. Umchusar Kippurim, Rav says that even somebody who needed a korban and he went to the mikveh the day before and he's had hair of shemesh, and now it's the day that they have to bring the korban and they haven't yet brought their korban, then we still shecht for them because we know that sometime during the day they can shecht the korban and they'll be able to eat the korban Pesach at night. V'ein sheichatin v'zorkin al tomei sheretz. He says, but somebody who is Tomei Sheretz, who became Tomei that day, and has not yet been to mikveh. If he's been to mikveh at the time of Shechitas HaPesach, that's called a Tvul Yoim. They do shecht for him. If he's not yet been to mikveh, then we're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf, even though he could go to mikveh and eat the Korban Pesach at night. But if he hasn't yet been to mikveh, all the while he's not toiveled, we do not shecht for him. V'ula Omar, Ula argues with Rav on this point and says, Af sheichatim v'zorkin al tomei sheretz, even for a tomei sheretz who's not yet been to the mikveh, we do shecht the korban Pesach in the hope and trust that he'll go to the mikveh that day, and then at night he'll be able to eat the korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, L'Rav, we're trying to understand Rav, Maish not tvul yoim, why do we shecht for somebody who's a tvul yoim, that means he's been to mikveh, but he still can't eat a korban? Why do you shecht for him? Because when it comes to evening, he'll be able to eat from the korban. So there's no reason not to shecht it for him. So Tomei Sheretz Nami, Chazi L'Urta. This person who became Tomei Sheretz in the day of the 14th, he can also eat it in the korban at night, providing he goes to mikveh and waits till the end of the day. When it comes to the night, he can eat the korban Pesach. Why don't you shecht for him? Answers the Gemara, Mechusar Tvila. Because in contrast to the Tvul Yoim, who's already been to mikveh, this Tomei Sheretz, who's not yet been to mikveh, he's lacking, he hasn't yet been toiveled. Since he's missing the Tvila, you cannot shecht for him. Says the Gemara, okay, but if any person who's not yet finished his process of purification, you don't shecht for him, Tvul Yoim Nami, Mechusar Herav Shemesh. Somebody who's a Tvul Yoim, he's been to mikveh, but he's still missing something, he's missing Herav Shemesh, he's missing waiting till the end of the day. The day is not yet over. How can you shecht for him? What's the difference if you're waiting for the mikveh, you're waiting for the sun to set? Says the Gemara, there's a very big difference. Shimsha, the sun, memeila arva, it's going to set on its own. You don't need to do anything. Just virtue of the fact that the day is going to come to an end, that's going to mark the end of the tumah, and he'll be able to eat the korban Pesach. But this person who hasn't been to mikveh, he has to actively go and do something. That we say, since he hasn't been to the mikveh, you don't shecht for him. Asks the Gemara, but you, Rav, agree that if it's day 8 and he needs to bring a korban and he hasn't yet brought his korban, that's called a mechusar kippurim, you do shecht for him. What's the difference between if he hasn't yet brought his korban or if he hasn't yet gone to the mikveh? Mechusar kippurim nami, ha mechusar kapara, he's lacking the kapara. And mechusar kippurim, you say that we trust he'll bring his korban and you can shecht for him, the korban Pesach, but sheretz you say no because he hasn't been to mikveh, what's the difference? Answers the Gemara, Shekinoi Beyodei, that this Mechusar Kippurim, he's got his korban in his hands and he's bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash, and we can see that he's brought his kapara. It hasn't yet been offered up. They haven't yet shechted his kapara. Otherwise, he's not Mechusar Kippurim. But he's brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, there's no concern. We'll soon see why. Asks the Gemara, Tomi sheret nami hari mikveh lefonov. What's the difference between a mechusa kippurim who's got his korban with him in front of him to bring it, and we say that even though at the time of the korban pesach, the shechting of the korban pesach, he's not yet brought it, but he will bring it, and therefore you can shecht for him. Well, this tomi sheret, he's got a mikveh in front of him, he can just tovel. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, Dilma Pasha, maybe he'll be lazy and he'll forget. He'll be careless and he won't go to the mikveh. Ask the Gemara, Yochi Mechusa Kippurim Nami Dilma Pasha. If so, say the same with the Korbonis. He's holding the Korbonis, but he might be careless, he might be lazy, and he might not actually have them brought up. Says the Gemara, Kagoin de Mosrinu Lebezdin. This person didn't just have the Korbonis with him. He actually has given it over to the Bezdin, those appointed to make sure that the Korbonis get done. Ukdurev Shemaya. And this is where Rav Shemaya plays an important part, and we're going to see this a few times on this Omid, that Rav Shemaya said, "Do'omar chazoka ein bezdin shel kohanim oimdim misham," the bezdin who are responsible to make sure that the korbonis that people brought that day, or supposed to have brought that day, and have paid to have brought that day, are actually brought that day, they do not get out, they don't leave the azara, and al sheyichlu mois shebashofros, until all the money that was put in those money boxes, which were dedicated for those korbonis that were supposed to be brought that day, from the people, they will not leave the Beis HaMikdash until all those korbanos have been brought. And therefore, even though he's mechusar kippurim, since he's brought his korbanos, or the money for his korbanos, to the Beis Din, we take it for absolute granted, it's a chazaka, that they will make sure that this korban will be shechted that day, and therefore we can take it for granted that in the night he'll be able to eat the korban pesach, and therefore you can shecht it for him in the day. However, somebody, a Tomei Sheretz, who's got a mikveh in front of him, but he may carelessly avoid or forget going to the mikveh, then therefore you cannot shecht for him. Says the Gemara, Ula Rav, it seems that if the way we've just explained Rav, that the reason that Ein Sheichatin al Tomei Sheretz is because we're afraid he might be careless and not go to the mikveh, that would seem from there that Midaraisa Merzechazi, that Minatayra, you can shecht the Korban Pesach for a Tomei Sheretz, just Midarabonon Udagozribe. It's just that the Rabbonon said that don't rely on the fact that he's going to go to the mikveh, and all the while he hasn't been to the mikveh, don't shecht for him. If that's true, that according to Rav, min ha-teira, you can shecht a korban pesach for somebody who's a tomei sheretz, even though he's not yet been to the mikveh, we have a problem. Alom omar Rav, why did Rav say, and we learnt about this on Daf Pei at length, that metamin echod mehem b'sheretz, if you have 50% of Klal Yisrael are Tommy, and 50% of Klal Yisrael are Tohir, and you need to have a majority in order to allow the Tameim to do the Korban Pesach Betumah in the first Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. So Rav said, take one of the Tohirim and make him Tomei Sheretz, and now you have majority of Klal Yisrael who are Tomei. So that's what Rav suggested on Daf Pei. So the Gemara is asking, if Rav holds that min ha-teira you can actually bring a Korban Pesach for a Tomei Sheretz, then what does it help? Min ha-teira, you need a majority. And if min ha-teira, you need a majority, then you need min ha-teira, a majority of people that you cannot shecht the Korban Pesach for them on Erev Pesach. This person, you make him touch a sheretz. You can still min ha-teira bring a Korban Pesach for him because he can go to mikveh and eat it in the evening. So how can you, Rav, say that having one person being Tomei Sheretz, that tips the balance and makes a majority of Tumeim? Elo says the Gemara, it must be l'Rav, that according to Rav, that you see from Daf Pei, midoiraisa nami loichozi, that even min ha-teira, we're not allowed to shecht a korban pesach for a Tomei Sheretz. Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, ish ish kiye Tomei l'nefesh. What does it say in the Pasuk? That any person who is Tomei from having touched a deceased person, then he cannot bring the korban pesach in the first Pesach, and he brings the korban pesach on the second Pesach. And the Gemara says, Mila Oskinon, can we not assume the Pasuk is talking about Shechol Shvi Sheloi Liyois Be'erev Pesach? That we're talking about that the seventh day of this person who's a Tomei Mace is the seventh day of his Tumah. And that's what the Pasuk says, that he cannot bring the Korban Pesach. He has to do Pesach Sheini. Dehainu Tumas Sheretz. A Tumas Mace on his last day is on the seventh day, is exactly the same type of status as a Tumas Sheretz on that first day. And if it says that the Tumas Mace on his seventh day, which means that night he'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Nonetheless, the Pasuk says, no, he should do Pesach Sheini. Well, that means that Tumas Sheretz, which has the same status as a Tumas Mace on the seventh day, Min HaTorah, you cannot bring the Korban Pesach for him. The Rabbanon said, and the Torah said, sorry, that he cannot do Pesach Rishon. So this would be a source to what Rav said, that a somebody who's Tomei Sheretz is not allowed to, you cannot shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf. Says the Gemara, V'chi teimah mimai dehochi? Are you going to ask, why are you so sure that that Pasuk that pushes a Tomei Mace to Pesach Sheni is talking about the seventh day? Maybe it's talking about one of the earlier days. And the reason you cannot shecht v'im a Korban Pesach is because he cannot eat it in the night. And then it will not be the same as Tumas Sheretz, where he can eat Korbanis in the night. Says the Gemara, no. Sova lo k'Rav Yitzchok. He holds Rav assumes like Rav Yitzchok, the Omar, over there it's talking about that in Klal Yisrael, in the year that they in the Midbar, after they left Mitzrayim, then there was an issue there with people who were Tomei Mace and who could not do Pesach Rishon. And Rabbi Yitzchok here says that we know that particular case, that year, it was on day 7 of the Tumas Mace. That was the situation then. Tomei Mace Mitzvah Hoyu, those people who were Tomei, they were Tomei to a Mace Mitzvah, Shechal Shvi Shelehem, that their seventh day was Liyos Be'erev Shabbos, was an Erev Shabbos. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, how do we know that? How did Rabbi Yitzchok know that? Because the Pasuk says, referring to those people who complained that they were Tomei, the Pasuk says, V'lo yochlu la'aseis ha-Pesach b'yoy mahu, that they could not do the Korban Pesach that day. And what do we deduce from the words that day, bayoimahu, hu de'enon yechoylin la'aseis, avol amochor yechoylin la'aseis? And we deduce from there that the people that were complaining were people who could do the Korban Pesach the next day, just on that day they couldn't. It must be referring to Tmei Meis, bayoimashvi, on the seventh day. Va'omer achmon enitchi, and the Torah says, do Pesach Sheini. From there Rav learns that ein sheichatin v'zorikin al Tomei Sheretz, and the reason is not because we're afraid that he's not going to go to mikveh. No, the answer is because the first day, the one day that the Tumas Sheretz is Tomei, has the same status as the seventh day of Tumas Mace, and the Pasuk says explicitly, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, that on the seventh day of a Tumas Mace, even though in the night he will be able to eat Korban Pesach, nonetheless, he does not do Pesach Rishon, he has to do Pesach Sheni. And Tosfos explains that the similarity between the Tumas Mace on his seventh day and the Tumas Sheretz is providing that in either case they have not yet gone to the mikveh. If the Tumas Sheretz has gone to mikveh, he's a Tvul Yoim, Sheichatin Olav. If the Tumas Mace has been to mikveh, then also he's a Tvul Yoim, and yes, Sheichatin Olav. When the Pasuk there says that they were Tomei Lemace, that they were Tomei, it means they have not yet been to mikveh, and that's similar to a Tumas Sheretz who has not yet been to the mikveh. And Tosfos discusses why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just tell them, go to the mikveh, you'll be a Tvul Yoim, and then you can do the first Pesach. And there's a number of answers in the Rishonim, but either way, the comparison here is Tumas Mace b'Shvi Sheloi before mikveh, and Tumas Sheretz on that day before mikveh. Continues the Gemara. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, in our Mishnah, Zov Sheroh Shtei Re'iyos, a Zov who saw two Re'iyos, Sheichatin Olav b'Shvi. We do shecht the Korban Pesach for him if his seventh day, we said that he has to wait 7 days, go to the mikveh on day 7, and in the evening he can eat the Korban Pesach. So if his seventh day falls on Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, even though he's still somewhat Tomei, he's a Tvul Yoim on the day of the 14th, we do shecht for him, even though, and because we know that in the night of the 15th he'll be able to eat the Korban. My love, can we not assume that the Mishnah is talking about Deloy Toval? Even if he hasn't yet been to the mikveh, nonetheless, we shecht for him on his seventh day, because we know he can go to the mikveh and wait for Erev Shemesh. Ushmamino, and then we would have proof from there that Sheichatin Vazorikin al Tomei Sheretz. And this is a question against Rav. How can Rav say that Ein Sheichatin Vazorikin al Tomei Sheretz? Does the Mishnah not say explicitly that a Zov who saw two Re'iyos on his seventh day, even, let's assume, even if he hasn't been to the mikveh, you can shecht for him? Not like Rav says. Answers the Gemara, Loi. don't assume that de tovil the Mishnah is talking about if he's toivled already and he's just now a tvul yoim and he's waiting for Erev Shemesh, then he's a tvul yoim, and Rav says a tvul yoim, you can shecht with them. Asks the Gemara, I tvul yoim, I tovil, maikomash malon. If indeed the Mishnah is talking about a Zov on his day 7 who's toivled already, then he's a regular tvul yoim. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Hokamash Malon, the Afal gav de mechusar herev shemesh. Now, this is exactly what the Mishnah is coming to teach us, that even though at this point in time there's some tumah still on him, and because until the end of the day he's not toher enough, he wouldn't be allowed to eat korbanos at that point. Komash Malon, the Mishnah is teaching us that since the shimshom emeila arva, since the sun is going to set all on its own, the person does not need to be proactive in making the sun set or doing anything that will bring his final taira, his purity, therefore you can shech the korban pesach for him. Says the Gemara, Hochanami Mestabra, and we can prove this point, and it seems logical from the next phrase in the Mishnah. Midik Toni Sefer, since we saw in the next part of the Mishnah, Ra Sholish Re'iyos, that if this Zov saw 3 Re'iyos, and then he has to wait 7 days and bring a korban on the 8th day, Sheikhtin Olav Bishmini, then you cannot shecht for him on the 7th day, because the night of the 8th, he cannot eat the korban Pesach, because he has to still bring his korban on the day of the 8th, the next day. But on the 8th day, even though he's not yet brought his korban, then we can shecht for him. So the Gemara explains, so that means we have in the Mishnah Zov Sherah Shtei Re'iyos, that we can shecht for him on day 7, and then we have the next case of a Zov that saw 3 Re'iyos that you can shecht for him on day 8 when he's not yet, when he's not anymore that level of Tumah, he's just Mechusar Kippurim on day 8. All he's missing is his Korban, but he's already been to the Mikvah, he's already had Herev Shemesh on day 7. So the Mishnah is going from one step to the next. So the Gemara says, Iomras Bishleim, if you say that Zov Sherosh Dei Re'iyos, that in the first case, when it speaks about a Zov we just saw twice, Sheichatin Olav B'Shvi, that we shecht for the Korban Pesach him on his 7th day, De Tovil, after he went to the Mikvah, which means he's a Tvul Yoim, then itzrich. Then I can understand why I need the second part of the Mishnah to tell us that on even Mechusar Kippurim you can shecht for him. Kasalkadai techamina, I may have thought Rosh Dei Re'iyos Bishvi Hu Deloy Mechusar Hu Deloy Mechusar Maisa, because I may have thought that only in the first case where he's been to mikveh, he's just at Tvul Yoim, then that's why you can shecht for him on the 7th day, because he's not lacking any act, he doesn't need to do anything, just has to wait till the end of the day. Avl Ra Sholish, I may have thought that somebody who's a Zov of 3 days, that Bishmini, that on his 8th day, the Mechusar Maisa, he's actually missing something that he has to do. Mechusar Kapora, he's lacking his Korban. He has to actually come and bring his Korban. Loi, I may have thought in that case we do not shecht for him on the 8th day. Komash Malon, that's why the Mishnah is telling us not only Tvul Yoim being the first case, even Mechusar Kippurim being the second case. Kamash Malon, that's what the Mishnah would be teaching us. That means if the first case in the Mishnah is talking about Tvul Yoim, which means that the Zov has already been to Mikvah. So then everything makes sense, and that's what we said. In order to answer Rav, we said that even though Rav says, Ein Sheichatin Vazorikin al Tomi Sheretz, but the Mishnah says that we do Shecht for a Zov on his 7th day, is talking about that he's a Tvul Yoim and he's been to the Mikvah. Komash Malon, the Afar Gav de Mechusar Kapora, the second part of the Mishnah is telling us that even though he's not just a Tvul Yoim, he's now Mechusar Kapora, nonetheless, Sheikhatin Vazorikin Ilavei, we can shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf. And Rashi adds that obviously it's talking about that he's brought his korbanos, he's given it to the Beis Din, he's put the money into the shofaros, into the money boxes, he's done everything it takes that we can take for granted that indeed that he's going to have his kapara. Elo I omrus ra'o shtei re'iyos, but if you're going to say, like we thought when we asked against Rav, that the first case of the Mishnah that speaks about Zov sh'ra'o shtei re'iyos b'shvi, the lo'i tovil is talking about that he's not yet toivled, and that's when we asked a question on Rav. The Mishnah says we are sheichet on the 7th day. Rav says, ein sheichet in v'zorikin al tomi sheretz before he's toivled. It's a contradiction. If you would say that, then the Mishnah wouldn't read ra'o sholish b'shmini lomoli, because then the first case of the Mishnah is not talking about a Tvul Yoim. It's actually talking about a proper Tumah. And then we wouldn't need to say Mechusar Kapara. If even when he's properly Tomei, he hasn't even been to the mikveh yet, we can Shecht for him, of course, if he's just a Mechusar Kapara. Hashta Yesh Leimara Shteiriyos Bishvi Deloy Tovil De Tomei Ma'alyahu. If we say in the first case of the Mishnah that he's a proper Tomei, he hasn't even been to mikveh, and nonetheless Shachtinon Vazarkinon Ilavei, and the Mishnah says that we can Shecht a Korban Pesach for him, trusting he'll go to the mikveh, then Ra Sholosh Bishmini, in the case that he saw three Riyos and on his eighth day, De Tovile Bishvi, he's already been to the mikveh on the seventh day, De Kalisha Tumah, his tumah is much weaker, and all he's missing is his korban and mechusar kapara loy kolshkin. We can take it for granted that the shachtinon v'zarkinon ilavei, that we can shecht the korban pesach for him on his eighth day. So what would the Mishnah be teaching us? Elolav, it must be from the sequence of the Mishnah. Shema mino, it must be that first case, which is less of a chiddush than the second case of Mechusar Kapara, must be that it's not a proper Tumah, it must be its Tvul Yoim. Rosh Dei Re'iyos Bishvi, De Shachtinon Ilavei, that first case must be talking about the Tovil, that he's been to Mikvah, he's only a Tvul Yoim. And then there's no question on Rav. Rav, who says, Ein Sheikhtin Zorokin Al Tomei Sheretz, is talking about before Mikvah. And before Mikvah, he cannot shecht for him. Says the Gemara, Loi, don't bring me that proof from this Mishnah. The sequence of this Mishnah, and it's true that the Mishnah, it must be that the second case is a bigger Chiddush than the first case. And nonetheless, don't bring me proof from the Mishnah that the beginning of part of the Mishnah is talking about that he's been to Mikvah. It could be that in the first case that he hasn't been to Mikvah, and he's a proper Tumah on his seventh day. And then you're going to ask me a question, if in case number one, we say that you can shecht for him on the seventh day, even though he's completely tomei still, relying he'll go to mikveh, then of course on the eighth day, when he's just mechusar kapara, he's much less tomei, of course that it goes without saying we shecht for him. Why would the Mishnah have to say that? No, says the Gemara of Yitzchak, the Mishnah does have to say it. Even though he's very tomei on the seventh day, but it's entirely in his hands to become toyer. So I may have thought, only in that case you can shecht for him. Aval bishmini, but on the eighth day, even though he's less toyer, De'ein b'yodei lakriv korban, but it's less in his hands. He's much less tomei because he's been to mikvah on day seven. But what he needs in order to be able to eat the korban afterwards is that the kohanim bring his kapara for him. It's not in his hands. Ein b'yodei lakriv korban. He can't offer up the korban himself. He's relying on the kohanim. I may have thought, Poshi bei kohanim, maybe the kohanim will be careless and they will not bring his korban for him, and therefore, maybe we would not be able to shecht the korban pesach for him. Komash malon could Reb Shemaya. That's what the Mishnah is telling us, that you can, like Reb Shemaya said before, you can absolutely rely on the Beis Din and the Beis Hamikdash that those korbanos will be brought that day, and therefore, even on his day eight, you can shecht the korban pesach for him. Continues the Gemara. Va'azova sheichatin v'chulu. This takes us to the next case in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that a zova, if she's a zova gedoyla, she has to wait 7 days, 7 clean days. On day seven, she can go to the mikveh, she waits for Erev Shemesh, and on day eight, she brings her korbonis. And if day eight is on Erev Pesach, since we know that she can still bring her korbonis, and then she can eat the korban Pesach in the night, we allow them to shecht the korban Pesach on her behalf on her eighth day, even before she's brought the korban. Says the Gemara, Toni Tane Kameder of Adaba Ava. There was this Chochem that was saying over the following statement in front of Rav Adaba Ava. V'hazova, we'll soon see that others claim that this statement was not said regarding a Zova, it was said regarding a Nida. We'll get there soon. But at this point, the Gemara assumes that the statement that was said to Rav Adaba Ava was regarding a Zova. That Sheichatin Oleo B'Shvi'i Shelo. That a Zova, you can shecht the korban pesach for her on her seventh day. And this doesn't make any sense. What do you mean on the seventh day? On the seventh day, you're going to shecht the korban pesach. She can't eat the korban pesach at night because she has to bring the korban the next day. Omale, Rav Adabra Ava said to that chochem who said over this statement to him, Zova b'shvi shelo michazya? Is a Zava on the seventh day is fit to be able to eat a Korban Pesach at night? Even according to Ullah that says that you are Sheikhat Vazirik for somebody who's a Tomei Sheretz who hasn't yet been to Mikvah, Hanamila Tomei Sheretz. That's only true regarding a Tomas Sheretz, the Chozila Urta. Because if they do go to Mikvah, then in the night they can eat Korbonis. Ho Adlam, ho. But this Zava, she can't eat any korbanis until the next day that she brings her korban. And on the night of the 15th, she won't be able, which is her eighth the night before the eighth day, she can't eat the korban Pesach. How can you shecht for her? Ema, so the Gemara says, Ema bishmini. So this Chacham said that you have to read into this statement that when it says Vazava Sheikhtin Aleo Bishvi Shelo, no, it means Bishmini Shelo. On her eighth day, she hasn't yet brought a korban, but since she can bring the korban that day, we can shecht for her. Says the Gemara, Pshita. What then? What's the chiddush? We know that Azava on her eighth day, she's already been to mikvah on day seven. She's had her of shemesh. She needs to just bring a korbanis. She's mechusar kippurim. You can shecht for mechusar kippurim. Says the Gemara, Ma'udatay I may have thought, given the Mechasu Kapora Loi, since Lemaisa, she's missing a Kapora, she's dependent on people to bring that Korban for her, maybe somebody's going to be lazy, somebody's going to be careless, and that Korban will not be brought, and then she will not be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Komash Malon, so that this statement that was said to Rav Ada Ba'av is teaching us Kedar Reb Shemaya, as we said before, that if she brought her korban to the Beis HaMikdash or the money for the korban to the Beis HaMikdash, you can absolutely rely that the korban will be brought, and that's the chiddush here, and she can shecht the korban Pesach on her behalf on the eighth day, even before she's brought her korban. Ravina Omar, Ravina says, Nida Tonakame, that this statement that the Chacham said to Rav Ada Ba'ava was not regarding a Zava, rather it was regarding a Nida. That what? What was the statement? That Hanida Sheikhtin Oleo Bishvi, that Nida on her seventh day, you can shecht the Korban Pesach for on the seventh day, even though the seventh day she's not yet Tahir, you can shecht the Korban Pesach for her. Omar Leiser, Rav Ada Ba'ava commented to that Chacham and said, how can it be? Nida Bishvi Michazia, that she's not fit to eat the Korban Pesach on the following night, on the night of the 8th. So how can she's not fit then to shecht the Korban Pesach on her behalf on her 7th day? Why? Even according to Ullah, says that you can shecht for a Tomei Sheretz who's not yet been to Mikvah, to Chozi Le'urta. At the end of the day, if this person who's a Tomei Sheretz goes to Mikvah, then in the night he'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. But Nida, this Nida, Le'urta de Shvi Hu de Tavlo, she can only go to the Mikvah in the night after the 7 days. And that means she goes to the Mikvah the end of the 7 days, on the night of the 8th, Ad Shmini Da'ovda Herev Shemesh Le'ichazya, until the end of her 8th day, which is the next day, she still needs Herev Shemesh, because you need to have Shkia at the end of the day after Mikvah. Here, after 7 days, she goes to Mikvah at night, and so if on her 7th day is on Erev Pesach, then when does she need to wait? How long is she at Tvul Yoim? Till the night following the 15th day of Nisan. So on the night of the 15th, she won't be able to eat the Korban Pesach. So she's not fit. Ad Shmini De'ovdo Herav Shemesh, until the end of her 8th day, Lo'ichazya, when she has the end of the 8th day, she has Herav Shemesh, till then she's not fit to eat. So how can you shecht for her on her 7th day? So says the Gemara, Le'eimu Bishmini. No, so say it's talking about on her 8th day, she went to Mikvah on the night, on the 8th, the night before the 8th day, and then the following day she's been to Mikvah, she's just waiting for Erev Shemesh. If that 8th day is Erev Pesach, you can shecht for her, because she's just a Tvul Yom, she's just waiting for the night, and in the night of the 15th she'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Pshita. So then what's the Chiddush? We know that you can shecht a Korban Pesach for a Tvul Yom. And why is it no Chiddush? Because Hashta Uma Zova, de Mechasya Kapora, if in the case of Zova, where we know that the Zava on her 8th day, where she needs to bring a korban, she hasn't yet brought a korban, she's mechusar kippurim, nonetheless, sheichtin v'zorikin oleh, you can shecht a korban Pesach and rely that the korban is going to be shechted for her, bishmini nida de loy mechaser kapara tzricha lemeimar de sheichtin vazarikin oler, then a nida on her eighth day where she doesn't need to bring any korban, she just waits for the end of the day. It's no chiddush, of course that you can shecht for her. Says the Gemara, no. Nida is trichale. I need to have a statement. There's a chiddush, an element of chiddush in telling us that a nida on her eighth day is you can shecht for her. Hokomash is trichale. Hokomash malon. Though what we're trying, what that statement was telling us, that a nida shoychat in oleo bishmini is in order to impress on us that bishmini in, only on the eighth day, you can shecht the korban Pesach for her. Bishvi, but if Erev Pesach is on the seventh day, loy. And this is in contrast to the other tumas, in contrast to Azov, who saw two ra'iyos, he can shecht for him on his seventh day. Why? Because on his seventh day, he can go to mikvah on day seven, have Erev Shemesh at the end of the seventh day. What's unique with Nida is that she cannot go to the mikvah on day seven. She can only go to the mikvah in the night after seven. So she has to wait till the end of the next day for Erev Shemesh. To impress that on us, we need this statement. Kedetanya, like we learned in the Braisa, kol chayvei tvilo is tviloson bayoim. All the people who need to go to the mikvah, they can go on the last day of their accounting, they can go to the mikvah. However, nida v'yoledes tviloson balaylo. A nida or a yoledes, a woman after birth, when she's waited the number of days she needs to wait, that she's tamei, then also she can only go to the mikvah the night following the end of the counting. Detanya, we learned in a braisa, yochel teitu velis mi ba'idyoim. I may have thought that a nida can go to mikvah on her seventh day in the day, as with other tumos. Talmud Leima says in the pasuk, no, it says v'isho kesiyeh zovah dom yeh zoivah b'fsoro shivas yomim tiyeh benidosa. It says shivas yomim, for a full 7 days, she should be in a situation of tuma, of nida, tehei benidosa kol shiva. She's a full tomas nida, a full 7 days. And that means she can only go to the mikvah and become tohir after the end of the seventh day, which is the night of the eighth day, to impress on us that only on, even though tumas nida only has to wait 7 days, and she can go to the mikvah after 7 days, but because she can only go to mikvah at night, her hair of Shemesh is the next day, therefore you can only shecht korban Pesach for her on day 8, not on day 7. For Yoledes, this is what we mentioned before, that Yoledes also cannot go to the mikvah in the day. She can only go in the mikvah in the night. Iskish l'nida, there's a posuk that compares Yoledes to Nida in the same way as the Nida can only go to the mikvah at the end of her tumah days, in the night after it, so too a Yoledes can only go to the mikvah the night following her days of tumah. In the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.